So this is Philippians 4:6. So we can read it out loud. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 7. Next one. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So don't be anxious for anything. And if we are, we can be reminded of Scripture. It says, do not be anxious for anything. Because you know the times that we live in, we see how much people are anxious. We see how why it's so important to have a solid foundation with Christ, who strengthens us and helps us. So we're supposed to guard our heart and our minds. We're not supposed to worry or be anxious for anything. Worry can be a constant attack from Satan to distract us from our focus and keeping our eyes off the Lord. And I can even add too, sometimes even our sinful nature doesn't want us to keep our eyes on the Lord. So it could be an attack from Satan, or it could be your sinful nature rising up, says, I don't really want to keep my eyes on the Lord. I kind of want to do my own thing. And so those are the things we kind of have to be aware of. It's like, what are we focusing on? Am I being anxious? And we see how being anxious and having anxious thoughts has caused our minds and heart to be crippled. Right, we get crippled, we get anxious, and we get overwhelmed by what's happening. We kind of get crippled, we kind of get paralyzed. It's like almost like a deer in the headlight. We don't know which way to go. Hey? Yeah. So how does what happens when you're anxious? What causes anxiousness? Ryan could give me a list.
However, it's been removed.
Amen. So would we say what causes anxiousness is would be stress?
Fear.
Fear? Yeah? How about manipulation? We have a lot of manipulation for the last year and a half. And it finally is getting to people who are breaking people down finally. Medication. Yeah. Overloading the population with medication that has side effects, so many different negative side effects, that you take more and more pills, which cause still more anxiousness. There's the population, so you look at why during the last 20 months, why liquor stores and the pot shops are booming because people are self-medicating. Because of people being anxious, and they don't know what to do. So self-medication. And then, so when you're anxious, it pulls you in a lot of different directions. You don't know which direction to go, right? Sometimes if you don't have a clear direction, you kind of go, I don't know which way to go, so I'm not going to do anything. So I'm just going to sit here. So what can help us overcome anxiousness?
Prayer.
Word. The Word of God? Yeah.
Still focus on the Lord.
Focus on the Lord, to trust Him. So what happens when do you know what the trigger points of cause you to be anxious?
Yeah.
So CNN? Yeah? So you don't watch CNN then? I don't watch the updates every week. Because that causes myself being anxious, which kind of gives me resentful and bitter towards the stupidity of society. Basically, it's stupidity. People are so blinded from it that it's causing people to be anxious and bitter and resentful and not having common sense. So God's word is clear and consistent in its testimony that all we have to trust in Christ, and that our salvation is kept secure forever, not because of our imperfect obedience, because our obedience has not been perfect. Would we agree on that? But because of God's, we have assurance of salvation because of God's word. His saving grace is undeserved. We don't deserve his salvation. We don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve that. But his love for us, he gives it to us. Even though at times when we're not faithful to him, he's always faithful. So that's 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, if we are faithless. So 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. And he cannot deny himself. So when we are going through times of difficulty and stress, anxiousness, whatever we're going through, and sometimes we kind of drift off, he's always faithful. He's always keeping in us. He's always there helping us. I kind of want to talk about perseverance, because a lot of people want just to give up. Because you've been bombarded for 18 months, 20 months, it wears on people. But the Lord wants us to persevere. He doesn't want us to give up. He doesn't want us to just throw in the towel. So the Bible is clear that not all of God's children will necessarily persevere. But it's equally clear that every child of God should persevere. We're all called to persevere, and some of us are not going to. We're going to give up or walk away from the faith. Even though perseverance is not a requirement to be saved from hell or go to heaven, there are many reasons why we should persevere in faith if they have been born into God's eternal family. He wants us to persevere. He's encouraged us to persevere. He gives us the ability to persevere. So every child should persevere in faith because spiritual growth. Because when we persevere, it's building godly character. Does that make sense? So when we persevere, we're building godly character. We're building godly traits. We're becoming more like Christ. So in Romans 8, 28 to 30, who wants to read Romans 8? 28 to 30.
Romans what?
Romans 8, 28
to 30.
Okay.
8, 28
to 30.
Oh, 28.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, he
That's
did
okay.
not.
That's a 30. Thank you. 28. So we know all things work for his good, for his purpose. Even our troubles and what we are facing today, we know that he's going to use it for his glory and for his purpose. It might not seem like that, but he also says for those who love him. And we love the Lord. So he knows he has the best. He doesn't want harm to come to us. Right? That's the fallen world causes this. God wants us to have freedom. He doesn't want us to get hurt, but sometimes we get hurt. They have sin. So verse 30, moreover, he predestined those he called. Verse 30, sorry, I did say 30, didn't I? So he predestined us. He has a plan and purpose for you. If he has a plan and purpose for you, that means he wants you to persevere. He has a race marked out for you to run. He's preparing us when we go through difficulties to reveal things in our lives that are holding us back. So that's the way why it's so important to build godly character, to grow in godly character, to let things go, to forgive people, to pray for those who are lost, or pray for the government, pray for those who are totally against us. He wants us to have a vital relationship with him through perseverance. He wants to read Romans 5. Romans 5. Yeah, 3 to 4. Oh, let Eric do this one. He was up.
So it's 3 to 4?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, you guys let me
know. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character, hope.
It's a hard process, isn't it? We're like, why do I have to go through this? In order to build that seems really hard. He wants us to persevere so we build character. Have you ever persevered through something? I know I can remember in the beginning, even when I started pastoring, it's like, Lord, why am I even doing this? Right? And I'd be like, it seems like it was so, it's like, okay, well, it's on my heart to do this. God put me in this position. And then it seems like a lot of people left the church. And then God brings in people after you persevere. Keep doing what he wants you to do, right? Not to give up. So that through that, he built character in me not to give up, but to trust him and depend on him through whatever he's placed before me. Whatever I'm in, I need to persevere to build character so that I would trust him and not on my own strength. He had to put me into a place where I needed to trust him only and not on my own strength. So then in that, builds hope, knowing that he has everything. If he's called you, he's predestined you to be doing something, whatever he's called you to do, you need to persevere in that so that you could build godly character, so we could persevere. You know, the Lord loves us so much to see us, doesn't want to see us remain in our sinful state. So he desires to conform us to the likeness of his son, Jesus. This passion is reflected in the Apostle Paul's statement in Galatians 4:19. It says, my children, this is Galatians 4:19, it says, my children, for whom I have labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. When we go through persecution, when we persevere, he's forming Christ in you. He's forming the character of Christ in you. We're sealed at the birth. When we receive Christ, we get sealed to the Holy Spirit, but then there's a process of sanctification, right? And through persecution, through perseverance, he's building godly character in us to expose the things that we are depending on or are contrary to the Word of God. Does that make sense? He's trying to expose things. Through persecution, he exposes the ugliness and where our faith is, where our hope lies. He doesn't want our hope to be in something that is not in him only. So that's why we go through certain things. He wants us to persevere. And he can only give us so much. He gives us as much as that we can handle. He gives you a little bit of times of trials and then times of rest. But he never gives you too much. But sometimes you think, man, I can't do this. This is so much. But then you go, when you get through it, and you're like, well, that wasn't so bad. Thank you, Lord, for helping me through that. And then you get to share how God worked in your life to others who may be going through or going through the same thing that you went through and the Lord delivered you through. So this forming process requires trials and perseverance. You can read James 5:10-11. Well, it's not very at the back of the Bible, that's Revelation.
Yeah, no, you know what I meant.
Okay, which one?
I don't know.
Revelation, five, sorry, five. James 5, verse 10 to 11.
It's going alphabetical. Where is James? So much easier. James 5, what?
5?
What to what?
10 to 11.
Okay.
Okay, awesome. Good job.
Okay. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye, we have heard of the patience of Job. No, it's not Job. I know.
Job.
And we have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and the tender mercy. You said pitiful.
So the Lord is very gracious. The Lord knows that without trials or tribulations in life, our faith would not be tested, that we would not grow in perseverance. And without perseverance, our character would not be transformed. James understands this well as he wrote, knowing that your testing your faith produces patience, but let patience have its work, perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. When it says may be perfect, it doesn't say you're going to be perfect, but maturing. He's maturing us. Because sometimes people say, oh yeah, as you read this, he says we're going to be perfect. No. We're maturing. The only time whenever we become perfect, is the time when we meet Christ in the air. That's when we get perfect. That's when all the sin comes off of us. We are totally redeemed. And we're sinless. But at this time, he's forming. He's maturing us. And so that we'd be complete and lacking nothing. He wants to mature us. He wants us to be steadfast. You know, I said at times I struggle with tolerating the lies that some officials and others dish out. Sometimes even the other day, I was like, not being smart, I'd turn on the thing and just watch the news outlets, and it just goes. That's for me is my snare. So for me, it's like, stop watching it. 2 Corinthians 4, 1-5. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1-5.
Chapter 4,
Second Corinthians chapter 4.
Yeah, 4 and 5.
You're the observant one. Which one?
Pick one.
Yeah, I'm your first son, so you obviously pick me. Okay, 4 to 5, right?
1 to 5. Chapter 4. Chapter 4.
What?
Second Corinthians.
I'm not reading that one.
Second Corinthians, what?
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4.
1 to 5.
1 to 5, okay.
Okay.
Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake.
Amen. What stood out to you? Do you know what we did last Sunday? It says, verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the words of God deceitfully. We revealed the hidden things in our lives. We confess them to one another. Right? So we're actually, what we did last week, when we revealed hidden sin or something that we felt comfortable sharing with somebody, we're actually releasing. And it's actually renouncing the hidden things in our own lives. When we hide hidden things in our lives, that gives Satan access to you. So by us renouncing these hidden things, now Satan does not have legalistic, can't take hold of you. He cannot bombard. He could try and tempt you, but you could say, you know what? No, Satan, you've been defeated. These things have been exposed and they're in the light. They have no more hold on me. So confession. It's amazing how in verse 4 it says, in those minds, who's the God of this age? Satan. Satan is the God of this age, and currently he has blinded people. He's blinded the people who do not know Christ. He's put a veil over their hearts, over their eyes, so they cannot see the truth of the gospel. And that's the opposition that we have. And that's why we pray for those people who do not know Christ, because there's a veil over their hearts, over their eyes, and then they cannot see the truth of the gospel. So as we pray, we ask the Holy Spirit to remove that veil so that they can start seeing the truth. So the people that we're battling against is not the physical, but it's a spiritual battle. So we do not preach ourselves, verse 5 says, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, his bondservants. That means we've been bought and paid for by him, and we are owned by him. That's what a bondservant is. I'll read verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in these earthly vessels, that the excellence of the power, and that power is the Holy Spirit, may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. We die to self so that the life of Christ would be manifest out of us, that we're not promoting ourselves, but we're promoting Christ. That's why he says, deny yourself. Deny. So then if we are denying ourselves, we can persevere because it's Christ that's given us the strength. He's given us the hope. He gives us the power. He's given us boldness by giving us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live a life of holiness and righteousness, to be that light in the sinful world, to share the truth of the gospel to others, to pray for them, to pray that the veil be removed off their eyes. But also, I think there's a veil over believers' eyes too. Because in James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word. So we're supposed to be doers of the word. What is the word of God saying to us today? And not to be hearers only. So if we're not doers of the word, and we're just hearing the word of God, we're deceiving ourselves. There's a deception over us. So when we're not obedient to the word of God, if we're only hearing the word of God but not putting it into practice, we are deceiving ourselves. So there's a bit of a deception. Praying for the lost. Sharing the truth of the gospel to the people who are lost. Sharing the truth about what's happening in this world right now. Us sharing the good news. There is eternal hope. This world is not, this world is just a place that we're just passing through. The good news is that we are going to be caught up and meet the Lord. The good news is that we don't go through persecution, we don't go through tribulation. We don't go through wrath. That's the good news. But we might face some persecution along the way or some troubles, but that's to build up godly character in ourselves, in us, to conform us more into the image of Christ. The church is born in adversity. Do you ever think about that when the church was born? It wasn't all peaches and roses. They went through adversity. The church grows when there's adversity. You look what is happening in Iran, North Korea, China. You look at Syria. You look at Bangladesh. You look at a lot of places where there's a lot of persecuted believers. The church is flourishing. People are coming to faith by the thousands. Why? Because the Bible, the Word of God, is the only true hope that anybody can have. It's the only word that can sustain you. So that's why we persevere, because it's the Word of God that perseveres and helps us to persevere, not to give up. Suffering and adversity not only helps us grow, it's an example to help others grow too. So when I go through hard times and people are watching, people watch you. They say, boy, how does that person do that? Man, I would not get through that. And you can say, you know what? I can't do it on my own. The Lord helped me. He's the one who lifted me up by his right hand to carry me through this. I can't do this. But the Lord did it, and you've given him honor and glory. Because if we try to rely on ourselves, our own strength, we just flop. We get tired. We get exhausted. We get so angry and bitter. But that's a sign that we're not dependent on the Lord, but on our own self. A lot of us are going through some tough times, physical, financial, and emotional. Some people have checked out. Others have given up. Well, thank God none of us has given up. Or else you wouldn't be here. That's one thing I praise God about. This church has been growing. Godly character. People want to get to know him more. Praise God for that. Psalm 23, one verse, it says, I shall not fear. You do 2 Corinthians 10:5, though. So Psalm 23 says, I shall not fear. Fear no evil. You know, to be controlled by fear or to put our faith, we're not supposed to be controlled by fear, because that's contrary to the word of God. It says fear, he says, fear not. Fear is feeling or forgetting everything and run. So if you're fearing, you're forgetting everything and running, because you're forgetting the word of God. Because he says, stand and withstand. Take a hold of this and persevere. So putting our faith in God is not an accident, but it's a decision, right? We have to make a decision. You find it?
What is it?
Now I forgot. Huh? I lost my train of thought. 2 Corinthians 10:5. There we go.
I had it first.
No, he actually stood up first, though.
Oh, you guys. You guys are brothers, aren't you?
Yes.
2 Corinthians 10:5.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen. So that's an action that we have to do. We're supposed to take captive every thought. So when I listen to the news, I need to not to allow that information to manipulate me, not listen to it. Sounds like I'm putting my head in the sand, but if it negatively affects you, don't listen to it. Discouragement or confidence are always a result of a decision. So if you're feeling discouragement, or if you have confidence, it's a result of making a decision. So we can be discouraged what is currently happening, or encouraged knowing what the time that we're living in. Does that make sense? So we can be discouraged what's happening right now, how this world is just getting more lawlessness, how everything is going right in the toilet, how good is no longer good, but evil now is good. So are we encouraged by the day that we live in or the hour that we live in? Because we know by the word of God, these things must happen before the Lord comes, before we meet him in the air. So that's encouraging. Though we see the world falling apart, we should be encouraged knowing that we're living in Bible prophecy right now. We see how Syria has the nations that are coming against Israel there. We see how Damascus is almost destroyed. We see a lot of things happening. Lawlessness is growing, growing. So 1 Thessalonians 4:17. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Well, they haven't found it yet.
I got it. Don't worry. Got it. Okay. It's 4:17, right?
We need almost like a referee in this.
Well, yeah, you're the one.
I think your dad should be the referee in this.
You're the one walking over.
Well,
you should see whoever stands up first. You're the blind ref.
Okay, I'm the blind ref. Okay.
You got glasses on.
When we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
So we should always be with the Lord. This is our hope. This world's going in the toilet. But we don't stop and not care about this world or care about people, but we need to continue to pray for people to share the truth of the gospel until the Lord takes us up. We're supposed to share the truth. We're supposed to still stand up for holiness and righteousness. Even though we know in the end, right, God will judge this world. But we should be desiring to see people being saved, to come to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That should be our hope, seeing people come to know Jesus Christ, not to perish. So how can we decide not to fear or to be discouraged? So how can we decide not to fear or to be discouraged? It's a choice. So focus is on God, not the situation. I know yesterday John had us read Psalm 25, and at verse 15, I really like what it said in verse 15. It says, "My eyes are ever towards the Lord, and for he," this is David, he wrote the psalm, "for he, but the Lord shall pluck my feet out of the net or a snare." So Psalm 25:15 says, "My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he," the Lord, "shall pluck my feet out of the net," and NIV says snare. Are our eyes on the Lord today, or what's happening in this world? Right? Sometimes we're doing really good, our eyes are on the Lord, and you know, and this garbage is not affecting us. And then sometimes I know for myself, I look at the garbage and then my eyes off the Lord, and it affects me emotionally and physically and also mentally. So I know the snare. I know what takes my eye off the Lord. I know that. And that's why I stopped trying to stop watching the news. But what is your snare? We all have different snares. So God wants us and expects us to follow him in his direction during these times and these tough times. He wants us to have our eyes on him through these tough times, hard times, even the good times, to have our eyes always fixed on him. You know, God is the source of strength, courage, for the good and bad times. He is that for us. So we're supposed to resist and to stand firm. That's how we can overcome. So who has 1 Peter 5, 8 to 10? Who has 1 Peter 5? Okay. So, hold it. No, I gave people papers, guys. Sorry. Just hold on. Your aunt's going to read. Okay.
Okay, do I have to stand up?
You can if you want.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
When he settles us, he gives us his peace. But we're supposed to resist and stand firm. It's amazing how, we'll say, your flesh and even Satan desires to use situations, more so Satan, wants to use these situations to damage your faith. He wants to use these situations because he's a deceiver. He wants you to lose hope. So he wants to damage your faith in the Lord Jesus. He wants to shake your submission to the Father. And he lies to distort our understanding of God's goodness. He wants to distort God's truth in your life. Since he cannot touch your soul, this is why he attacks your mind. This is why in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're supposed to take captive of those thoughts. The mind is the battlefield, not the soul. Your soul, your life belongs to the Lord. It's his. It's your mind Satan wants, because in that, with your mind in a mumble jumble of goulash, can put, question God's abilities and start questioning God's word. It makes you start questioning, is God really good? If God is really good, why is all this stuff happening? When we read the word of God, it says these things must happen. God has a plan, he has a purpose. And if we know God's plan and purpose, we can see the bigger picture, why it's so important to stand firm, to withstand what Satan wants to shipwreck you, to make you doubt who God is. He wants to make you weak and ineffective for the Lord. That's his number one goal. If a believer is ineffective and weak, how can you be out there praising the Lord or to be saying, this is how Jesus delivered me. This is how he set me free, that he's my hero, my love of my life. If we're broken and not allowed to be healed by the Holy Spirit, you kind of got ineffective. But in that, God can heal you if we surrender to him, if we repent. Lord, forgive me for doing things on my own. Forgive me for not trusting you. Forgive me for believing the lies of Satan. So we're not instructed to ignore the devil, nor hide in the shadows. However, we're supposed to stand firm, to stand up for truth, and for stand up for righteousness and holiness. So equip ourselves with the truth. That's the word of God. So another one is, walk with people that will encourage you. So who wants to read, who has Hebrews 10, 24, 25? Who has Hebrews 10, 24, right? 24 or 25. Yeah. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Who has that one? Okay. How about who has 1 Thessalonians 5:11? Okay.
Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing.
Amen. So we're supposed to comfort and edify one another. That's how it can be. That's why it's so important to come to church or fellowship with other believers outside of church. So who could find then Hebrews 10, 24, 25 then? Oh. Oh, okay. It's all right. We got her.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
Good.
So encourage one another, right? Help one another. more as we see the day approaching. Who had Hebrews 3:13? Okay, Hebrews 3:13.
Encourage one another. Yeah. But encourage one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Mm-hmm. So easy, we see how sin in this world can harden our hearts. But if we continue to encourage one another in the faith, we can pray for one another and help one another. Right? Because we're not in this alone. That's the thing that Satan wants you to do. He wants to divide people. He wants people to be on their own. And that's where he gets you. You know, when wolves go after a pack of animals, they know which one's the weak one. They always get the weak one off over here so they could devour him or her. Right? But when we feel weak, we should not be feeling like, oh, I should not come to church. Well, that's the best time to come to church. Amen. Right? When you're feeling weak and just broken and everything, feel everything's coming against you, call up people. Call up people to pray for you. Call up whoever and come to church. Fellowship with people. And this whole thing for the last 18 months, what were they been trying to do? Prevent people to gather. That's the destruction of Satan. Is trying to, that's to prevent gatherings is a work of Satan. So remember that God is with you. So Joshua 1:9. I'm getting my exercise today.
Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Amen. That's a good one. And then Psalm 27, 14. Psalm 27, 14. So wait for the Lord.
Yes.
How about Isaiah 41:13?
Where they stand. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you.
Amen. And then John 14:27.
I think that'd be me, and I don't think I need a microphone.
What? Oh, I can't hear you at all.
You can't hear me? Okay. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid.
Amen. Aren't those the encouraging promises of God? I just, so my heart is that, it's for us to take away from this message, is that our focus in these times would be prepared to encourage, to allow the Holy Spirit to direct us, to know which way we should go, to the right, to the left, or do we go straight ahead, or do we stay in one spot? For the time, right? But to be knowing what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. That's key. To allow the Holy Spirit to empower you. And to ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom how to navigate through this time. It's funny that it's not funny, but it's when you talk to other pastors, nobody knows how to navigate through this time. Nobody's ever gone through this. So as we go through this together, we're to help encourage one another to stay true to the faith of Jesus Christ, to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to end with this one. So if we could, if the person to your right, or to the person next to you, but if I wonder this prayer, like it's 1 Peter 5:7. And it says, so it says, cast all your anxiety onto him, Jesus, because he cares for you. And my thought was, if I, it says, Kyle, cast all your anxiety onto Jesus because he cares for you, Kyle. Or if I pray for Nina, you know, Nina, cast all your anxiety onto Christ because, Nina, he cares for you. Right? And so if we pray, you know, that's a very simple prayer. But if you could kind of use that as a template, saying, Lord, I'm going to, person's name, going to cast all my anxiety onto Jesus right now. All, everything I have anxiety about right now, I'm going to give them to you wholeheartedly. And I know that because he says he cares for me. I'm going to do this because you care for me. You're the one who upholds me. You're the one who does so many things for me. So I'm just going to trust you in your ability and who you say you are because of your word. So if you want, you know, if girls could do that, or husbands, wife, or whatever, right? And or even if there's three of you there, just pray that simple prayer, right? Like, you have a song? Okay. So does that...